Blog Talk Radio.
Welcomes you with great love and great respect from the heart of all. Welcome to Meditative Living with Swami Shivananda Giri. I bring you the teachings, the blessings, and the Shakti of His Holiness Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj, Los Angeles, California, who in 2007 became the first white-skinned American-born human being initiated into the rank of the 80 Mahamandaleshwars within Hinduism. Today, on the 12-12 auspicious occasion, would like to begin reading to you and discussing a text called the Chidakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganeshpuri. Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganeshpuri, India, was a wandering yogi. He didn't speak very much at all at any point in his life. He rarely spoke. This book is compiled by the devotees, the students of Nityananda, from sayings, commentaries, and discourses that he gave over a number of years. People just wrote down when he did say something, people would write it down. One of his students, a lady named Tulsi Amar, is credited with organizing the words and putting together what is now called the Chittakasha Gita. It was originally published in the South Indian language of Kannada in 1927. It did not become available in English until 1962, when it was published as Voice of the South and was translated by M.P. Pandit of the Sri Aurobindo Ashram and published by P. Ramanath Pai Press in 1962. The version I will be reading from and the commentary the Swami will share with you is both my own commentary and that of a man named Acharya Kedar. This is found at suprememeditation.org. Nityananda was a very large figure in the ancient Sanatana Dharma tradition, or, well, the more recent. He left the body in the 60s. He was the guru to Baba Muktananda, who traveled the world in the 70s, giving Shaktipat for the first time outside of India. This Swami's guru met Muktananda in 74 and became a student at that point and eventually became enlightened and authorized to teach. But Nityananda, he did a lot of traveling early in his life and just walked around India. Eventually, he settled in a jungle. Over time, people kept coming to see him there, and around him grew the town of Ganesh Puri. So, this is the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda, one of this Swami's lineage masters. Verse 1. Gyanis, okay, the word gyani means knower. Gyanis are mindless. To gyanis, all are the same. They have no slumber, no dreams, nor sleep. They are always in sleep. The sun and the moon are the same to them. To them, it is always sunrise. The glass of a chimney lamp, when covered with carbon, is not transparent. Similarly, the carbon of the mind must be removed. And here is the commentary by Acharya Kedar. A being who is immersed in the state of Supreme Shiva, the state of Shiva consciousness, is a knower of the truth. One who sees and experiences God in everything and everyone everywhere is called a gyani, a knower. To such a person, only God exists. For such a being, this world appearance is neither real nor unreal. It is a reflection, like that in a mirror, of God's bliss. A jnani is immersed in equality consciousness and is the revealer of that equality consciousness. Equality consciousness is the vision that all sentient and insentient creations are the same because God exists in all of them equally. For one who experiences equality consciousness in an uninterrupted way, the sun of supreme awareness never sets. Such a being is always aware that the revealer exists in that which is revealed. The physical covering is transparent for such a being. A jnani is one who has destroyed the restless mind so that this truth becomes a constant revelation. So what you'll see here is that from the words of Nityananda himself, what he spoke oftentimes is full of hidden meaning, and you have to understand what is being talked about and the way in which he uses certain terms. This is why commentary is so very, very important to any reading of oral tradition material. Let's go on to verse 2. Nityananda said, "There are three nerves in the body, the sun, or the sushumna, the moon, or the ida, the star, or the pingala. The first is red in color, the second blue, and the third green." Acharya Kedar's commentary. Inside the covering you know as your physical body, there are many channels or paths through which spiritual energy flows. Paths are subtle. They are not physical. Of these, there are three channels or paths of spiritual energy that are of primary importance to a yogi. Of these three channels, one is the most important. The subtle path that moves up inside your spinal cord from the right nostril is known as pingala. The subtle path that moves up inside your physical form through the left nostril is known as ida. The third subtle path is the most important because it is the path of the siddha, of the perfected one. It is through this path that the awakened Kundalini Shakti, once fully awakened, makes her journey through all the subtle spiritual energy centers of your being. These are known as chakras. Now these lead through the Sahasrara to the Sahasrara, to what is called the crown chakra at the top of the head. This is why it is called the Siddha path, the path of the perfected beings. This is the subtle energy channel called Sushumna. This covering is also called the subtle body, that which contains these particular channels. You could also refer to it as the astral body, the light body. There are many different names. This path begins at the Muladhara chakra, which is the entrance to the Sushumna. The Muladhara is the root chakra at the base of the spine. This gateway to Sushumna, known as Muladhara, is red in color. This Muladhara is also the gateway to the subtle paths of Pingala and Ida. Depending on how a yogi directs his or her prana, their breath, through these three channels, one experiences various colors, such as green, red, and blue. Verse 3. Where these three nerves meet is the heart space. As we go on practicing yoga, the bindu sound is heard in the head. This sound is one, indivisible. The commentary. The Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna paths within your being all merge in the crown chakra at the top of your head. When your conscious awareness expands to the point where you are able to direct your entire consciousness to become absorbed in this crown chakra, there is a sound that is heard on a constant basis. This sound is called the Bindu Nada, or point of vibration. Some sages refer to it as the 10 different kinds of sound emanating from the crown chakra. This sound is the vibration of divine consciousness, is the Om, the word of God. That is what that is. And when your practice has expanded your awareness high enough, you begin hearing this. And it just sounds like it's not. See, a lot of people think because it's called the Om that it should be like some kind of a deep and resonant thing, but it's not. It's a high pitched, like a tone. And it comes right from the top of the head. When you first begin hearing it, you may hear it in either ear, both ears. Sometimes it gets really loud. These are all manifestations of the sound, the nada, the unstruck sound. This is the sound of the universe operating. It is not like the Om, it is the Om. It is called one or indivisible because it is the very frequency of God from which this entire cosmos is manifested. On becoming absorbed in this sound, one then can see the light of divine consciousness that falls downwards from the crown chakra. And this is a very real, observable phenomenon. Verse 4. Just as camphor is consumed by the flames of fire, so also mind must be consumed by soul fire. The commentary. When camphor is consumed by flames, it burns completely, and not even the seed of camphor remains. In the same way, for a yogi who wants to merge with his or her natural free state of being, the restless mind must be burned in the fire of Shiva consciousness. When the mind is silent, the impressions left behind on the mind still remain in a subtle form. These impressions rise over and over again to make the mind restless. In the fire of a yogi's daily spiritual practice, and by the grace of a sadguru, these impressions left behind on the mind are destroyed completely. And the mind also dissolves into the fire of Shiva consciousness. We'll get deeper into this concept later on in the Gita. Verse 5. The copra, detached from the shell, makes a dull sound when shaken. So also the body and soul must be thought of as separate. The first is light. By that light, all vices are consumed. The commentary. When we remove the coconut kernel, also called the copra, from the coconut shell, we do not mistake the shell for the kernel. We know that the kernel is not the shell. In the same way, a person seeking to know the truth should cultivate the understanding that the physical body and the internal soul are separate. One is a reflection of the other. The internal soul is actually the light of divine consciousness. The body is merely a shell that this internal soul parades around in. When a yogi has this realization on a constant basis, all the ego attachments created by the mind and the senses are destroyed. Verse number 6, Nityananda said, just as we draw water from a well, we should draw breath. When we breathe out, it should be like letting down the bucket into the well. When we breathe out, it is the carbon, the impurities of the body. When we breathe in, it is the breath of Omkar. Breath of Omkar is the mind. The commentary. In this path, the breath is called prana shakti. The internal soul comes and goes on the move of this shakti within your being. When you breathe in, the mind is born and creation manifests. When you exhale, the mind begins to calm down as the impurities of the body and the attachments of the mind are expelled from your being. The primordial sound, the nada that we spoke of earlier, is the cause of the manifestation of this universe. When you breathe in, this act of creation occurs within your being due to the vibration of this om, this nada. The coming and going of shakti inside your being is the creation, tenets, and withdrawal of this world appearance. So what we're saying here, now we're not speaking so much relative to every breath you take all day long, all your life. That in the bigger sense is the first inhale when you are born. And the last exhale when the body ceases to function. These are the big ones. Your world does not really begin as an individuated unit of consciousness until that first inhale. And it does not end until that last exhale. Verse 7, Nityananda said, mind is jiva, but their positions are different. Jivatman is Paramatman. In this path, mind is spoken of and is considered to be the jiva, the individual bound soul. Along the more Christian idea, the soul, your soul, which is created by and a piece of God. Same thing here, except within the Shaivite practices, which this Swami represents, it is called jiva. When, by the grace of a great guru and your own daily spiritual practice, you are able to turn the mind within to make it merge with the absolute, the mind becomes jiva-atman, the reflection of the supreme, formless absolute within a living body. One who has fully realized God by merging his or her mind into Shiva consciousness is said to be Paramatman, beyond Atman, beyond the individuation, the supreme consciousness while still in the body. This is what Jivanmukti means. Freed. Mukti means freedom. Jiva is the individual. The Jivanmukti is one who, while still living, has become fully enlightened and liberated. Not just expansive consciousness, but liberated from the rounds of birth and death. There is also another type of mukti called videha mukti, and that occurs when an individual attains final liberation from the rounds of birth and death at the death of the body. It can come in two ways, mukti, freedom, liberation, at death or while still living. Either of those are possible. Verse 8, Nityananda said, a man or woman should be educated. What is education? Jiva should know the secret that he is the Paramatman. The commentary. Education in mundane life is limited knowledge. True education is complete knowledge and experience of that by whose light all things shine. This is the only real knowledge, since it is by this knowledge that all other things are understood correctly. Every individual should embark upon the path that will uncover the secret that he or she is really God, pretending to be individual, having forgotten. Verse 9, Nityananda said, Paramatman is in Jivatman. The real mukti is to know the subtle in the gross. The commentary. The one universal experiencing, the one God who is worshipped by so many different names, is actually the same one who takes the form of all individual bound souls. There are spiritual paths that espouse that mukti, or liberation, occurs when you achieve complete silence of mind while sitting for meditation. This is not deliverance, and it is not liberation. It is not the real mukti. Mukti is the constant awareness that the subtle, the supreme Shiva consciousness, referred to as God, is contained in all the gross objects of this world. Mukti is the constant awareness of that fact. Verse 10. Nityananda said, "We should leave off the gross sleep and sleep the subtle sleep. We should enjoy the sleep obtained from the practice of pranayama." The commentary. My Gurudev used to say that sleep is death. In the gross sleep, you experience the state of deep sleep where you are not aware of anything at all. The subtle sleep is one in which, while in the state of deep sleep, you are able to maintain awareness that you are part of God, and that your deep sleep is merely one of God's coverings. The way to enjoy this subtle sleep, in which you are actually fully aware and therefore fully awake, is by means of pranayama. Pranayama is the practice of controlling and directing your breath so that it enters the Sushumna Nadi. Remember that nerve we were speaking of earlier that runs from the base of the spine straight up the spinal cord to the crown chakra? That is the Sushumna. When you can perform the pranayama, where the breath enters and moves about there, rising and falling, without the necessity to take any air from the outside. For those of us who are making good progress in our daily practices, we find that the body forgets to breathe. It just stops breathing. You're not in any danger. It's not stressful. It's just the breath stops. When that happens, the breathing has shifted into the Sushumna channel, and it is moving up and down in there, and will remain that way until drawn out again. Sonic, let's do the bottom of the hour, and if you want to, we'll go right into the question. If you have something strong, if you don't have something strong, don't run the produced element, and I'll go right back into the commentary. Namaste.
Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Jiva, Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Jiva, Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Jiva, Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Jiva.
Welcomes you with great love, great respect, and a mute button on. From the heart of all. Welcome back to Meditative Living. We're going to continue with the text. Verse 11, Nityananda said, "The upgoing breath is like the wheels inside a clock. Its movement is inside. When the movement of the breath is internal, one will see the world in himself." The commentary. Prana Shakti is your breath. The upgoing breath is the prana when it moves inside the Sushumna Nadi, the middle path, okay, rising through all of the chakras. This is what causes Kundalini Shakti to rise after Kundalini has been fully awakened by a liberated sage. Just as the wheels inside a clock control the movement of a clock, the upgoing breath controls the creation, sustenance, and withdrawal of the entire universe. When a yogi, by the instruction and grace of a qualified guru, is able to direct and maintain the prana inside the Sushumna Nadi, without taking any breath in through the nose or mouth, such a yogi experiences all 36 stages of manifestation and withdrawal of the universe within their own being. Verse 12. Just as we see the sky reflected in the water in an earthen pot, so also to the internal vision, the sky of consciousness becomes visible. The commentary. The water inside a pot has the ability to reflect the sky above. But when doing so, the water, which is the reflecting surface, does not become the sky. It remains as water, and the sky remains the sky. This is due to the reflective nature of the supreme subject, who becomes the internal soul of all sentient and insentient objects. One who knows this from the personal, direct, conscious experience gained by Guru's grace, that one is able to attain the internal vision by which Chittakasha, the great inner expanse of divine consciousness, becomes completely visible. Verse 13, Nityananda said, if food is prepared in a gold vessel, the dog eats it. If it is prepared in an earthen vessel, then also the dog eats it. The dog's only real interest is food. Regardless of what the food is cooked in, the dog will eat it because it is absorbed in thinking about food. A person who desires after sex only wants sex, regardless of the context. One whose only desire is for money will pursue money, regardless of the means. You get what you meditate on. Only one who desires rejoining God may become God within themselves. Verse 14. Nityananda said, the sunlight is reflected in the salt water of the sea. It is also reflected in the clear water of a tank at the top of a hill. It is not enough if we see with the eye, but we should experience it. The commentary. Even though sunlight is reflected in water and other surfaces, to experience the sun directly, we must sit in the sunlight. We can't get a tan by staring at the reflection of the sun or a picture of the sun. In the same way, it is not enough to have the intellectual understanding that God exists in the reflection as the various forms of this world. No. The intellectual idea of that is nothing, dust. You must have the direct perception of that fact. If we want God, Shiva, whatever term or title you wish to apply, We have to experience that directly by going to the source of Shakti inside our very own being. Nowhere outside will this be found. Verse 15, Nityananda said, on a tree grow numberless flowers. The flowers all perish, but the tree does not perish for a long time. The visible world is like flowers. The invisible is like the tree. The commentary. This world appearance is like the flowers growing on a tree. Just as the flowers wither and die and then take birth again in an endless cycle of birth and death, but the tree remains as the source of birth and death of the flowers. So too, this world appearance and all the objects in it perishes and is born again by the power of God, which remains changeless. Objects, referring to people, places, things, are visible like these flowers. God is subtle and not visible to those who do not have the subtle discrimination. Verse 16, Nityananda said, there are matches in a matchbox. Fire is produced only when the match is rubbed against the side of the box. So also, the mind is the match. Intelligence is the side of the box. We should rub the mind against intelligence, and then we get the kingdom of self, which is the same as the liberation from the cycle of birth and death. What is referred to as buddhi, B-U-D-D-H-I, or will, has two aspects, one transcendental and one immanent. The transcendental aspect is Lord Shiva, or God's will. When we align ourselves with God's will, we attain the kingdom and are able to bask in God's grace all the time. We become God's responsibility. This is a state that dawns on a person when the mind is merged in one's natural, free, original state of being. When the mind is rubbed against the higher intelligence of the divine will, it becomes the divine. For this to happen, one needs a guru and a spiritual practice. Verse 17, Nityananda said, a man should be quite indifferent to honor and dishonor. He should not have the least love for his body. Such a man will see the Supreme Being in everything and everywhere. The commentary. To experience of bliss, joy, complete inner peace, and total freedom, also referred to as ananda, you have to rise above praise and blame. You have to become immune to the perceptions created by words, and your ego has to be destroyed so that it no longer responds to virtue or vice. This is vairagya, or dispassion. By cultivating vairagya, you are able to dis the notion that you are the body. Once this limitation of ego is destroyed, you merge with the Supreme and see only that in everything and everyone everywhere. Sonic?
Hello, namaste.
Namaste. Questions, comments, complaints, ideas?
It's a very interesting read. I mean, it's describing the way that was in maybe the last commentary that you did. It's just taking it from a different viewpoint, and I think this is maybe a little easier to understand, actually, than the last commentary.
Yeah.
Or not the commentary, the actual text that Ganesh.
Oh, the Shiva Sutras. Yes, yeah. Yes.
This is a lot easier to sort of access.
Right.
But yeah, very interesting. I'm digging it.
Good. See, because you have to remember, this is not written from a theoretical point of view. This is written, this man, Nityananda, to my knowledge, never wrote anything at any point. He didn't care about that.
So is this a written down... His oral tradition, basically.
Yes, yes. This is a collection of things that his students heard him say.
Right, yeah.
But he didn't even, you know, the way we think of a discourse, you know, an hour-long presentation on this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah.
He didn't really even do that kind of thing.
So he was more into, like, sort of one-to-one tuition.
Sort of what?
A one-to-one, like, tuition, so just a master and a teacher.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes. Muktananda, who was the guru of this Swami's guru, lived with Nityananda for approximately 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Nityananda put him through his training. But you have to understand, an avadut, which is what Nityananda was, he was born aware.
Like the lady.
Like Ma, yes. And he never had a normal life. He participated in some worldly activities when he was young, but then he just went off. He just went away and sat and meditated by rivers and in caves, and people kept coming to him, and he would heal people, and he would sit up in trees and throw down leaves, and people would eat them and become healed of whatever their issue may be. He was a very enigmatic human being.
So what sort of time frame are we looking at here? So when was he about?
He passed away in, I believe it was 63.
Right, okay. And then he passed...
I don't recall what year he was born. There's a lot of... nobody's exactly sure about his birth, because he really never talked about it. He wasn't one who was all into family stuff and, you know... He wasn't like that. He was raised up by I believe the man was an attorney, but they tried to put him through school, this, that, and the other, and he just had no interest in it. And then he just went out and started walking around India.
That's a big place to walk around as well.
Huh?
That's a big place to walk around.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, he did amazing stuff.
So then, he passed the lineage on to Muktananda.
Yes.
Muktananda
passed it on to it. Well, see, here's the interesting thing about Nityananda. Nityananda was never a Swami. He was something very different. He was his own thing and taught people who ended up in all kinds of different paths. Because what he was teaching affected all of them. His was not a dogmatic, prescribed, ritual-filled type of education. It was about direct, conscious perception. Not about reading books. Sometimes books are helpful. He would occasionally have books show up for people. But that's why he never cared to write anything. He taught, and the people who heard it got it.
So what you're saying is he wasn't initiated by any guru. He sort of just...
Yes. He had a siddha. He had a guru. Okay. But no one knows the name. This wasn't made... I mean, of course, someone knows somewhere, but this wasn't something that... I mean, nobody really cared, because if you went to Nityananda, he fixed things. And he didn't have to say a word. You know, it was just, he was a very miraculous being.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all a normal human. He was something different. And that's just the way he was, you know.
How much of the sutras are in this one, then?
What's that?
How long before we get to the end of this one? Or is that it?
Oh, no. We're just getting started.
Excellent.
There's 250 verses.
How many?
250.
get through that.
So, come back next week, and we will take off with verse 18 of the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda. Namaste.